Welcome to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. I've been on the radio for about 5 years now. I talk about a lot of different things, but for about the last year or so, I've had a personal project. I've really noticed how in Phoenix, the homeless shelter system is very corrupt. And I actually, one night, I didn't make it to my hotel in time. I was flying down from Seattle to Phoenix because I said to my husband, look, baby, we got to move back to where there's sun. And he said, okay, go ahead, find us a place and let me know when it's all set up. I'll see you when I get there. And I was like, you know what? He's just stalling. So I did. I got on the plane. I made up the hotel, the reservation. And I said, okay, I'm going to go down there and find a place. You know what? Within a week, I'm going to find a place for us to live. And if I have to kidnap him and tie him up and stuff him in a bag and bring him down, I want to move to Phoenix. Well, you know what? Okay, apparently with the hotel, you're supposed to be there by a certain time. I was like 5 minutes late because the flight arrived late. So you're not really going to get, you're out of luck. You missed your room for the night. Well, okay, well, where the hell am I supposed to sleep? I'm not going back to the airport. What am I going to do, sleep on the street? Well, someone heard me. They were at the hotel and they said, you know what? There's actually a place that's not too bad. It's called CAS, Central Arizona Shelter Service. I'm like, okay, a homeless shelter. That's not bad. Shit, am I homeless? Am I officially homeless right now? I think I am. Okay, great. So I qualify for this charity. It's a charity. So I went there and I said, okay, I need a bed. Well, there was a security guard.
Well, who are you? What do you want?
I said, I need a bed. As you can see, I have my furniture that I call a suitcase here. Well, someone saw me and I had to go through some really stupid menial paperwork and sign a contract that didn't say anything about anything. It's just, yeah, okay, we'll let you in and get the hell out. Okay. Well, I'm Italian and I'm an INTP. I don't like that. Okay. So I thought, you want to start a fight with me. I'm here for one night. Okay, I just need help for one night. Look, I can show you the reservation in my hotel room. Why are you trying to start a fight with me? And then I turned around and there was a security guard. And I saw the security guard was trying to fight with someone who was on the floor. And I said, where's the bed? Oh, no, you don't get a bed. You get a mat? Oh, you mean like a little one of those little mattresses? No, you get a mat. Okay. Okay. Well, good thing I'm fat. Good thing I'm padded, right? So I got some squishy on me left. Okay, so I'll take a blanket. You don't get a pillow. And you certainly don't get a blanket. You get a sheet. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Really? Okay. Okay. I'm having issues with this, but I'm going to behave myself. My husband calls me and says, honey, did you make it to the hotel? And I said, no, sweetie, I didn't. But I didn't want to tell him what was going on. And then I actually did start to cry, and the man on the ground next to me said, I'm really sorry, but you know what? You got the good stuff. I said, what? He said, yeah, no, if you had come another night, you would have gotten much worse. I said, okay. You know what? I think I need to go to the bathroom. He goes, well, heads up. Maybe you should use the toilet, not the one by the shower. And I said, what? Okay, there's just the shower. I'll go ahead and do the shower. You know what? There was blood and vomit, well, of course, and excrement and urine. I looked at the shower. The showers were all cold. I said, well, where's the towel? So can I at least have a towel? Or you give me some bar soap, like what you would get in a hotel? That's the garbage stuff, right? Would give me? No, we're not going to go ahead and give you that. Okay, so I'm thinking, you know what? I really don't like this. Now, heads up, listeners, viewers, I'm the kind of lady who will say to a restaurant, you know what? Your cashier was very rude to me. I'm going to go ahead and fill out a survey. I'm going to call the 1-800 number on the receipt. I'm going to tell corporate that the individual at this establishment wasn't doing their job. They were rude to me. Okay, so now think about this. Not only was the CAS, I guess you'd call it administration, the people at the door, not only were they rude, they were very unprofessional. The security guard who was making me supposed to feel secure kind of made me scared. I was afraid for my personal safety. And then I thought, well, okay, you can't have showers like this. You can't have toilets like this. Oh, yeah, the toilets were all flooded. They were full of excrement and urine. Oh, yeah, and there was blood, too, and women's pads, right, sanitary pads that were saturated. It looked like it had mold on them. Okay, so let me see what's going on here. I said the next day I was sitting here debating, should I stay here and actually report these jerk-offs, or should I just say, okay, you know what, I'm going to go to my hotel. There was a woman sitting next to me at one of the tables, and she said, yeah, I know, you're just going to take off. You seem like you care, but you don't really care. Okay, you know what, I do care. So I said, I'm going to stay here. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go through the program. I told my husband, I said, baby, you need to wait for me. I'm gonna take a little bit. Well, I'm gonna take some time to find a place. But I am, and I found out in this program they help you find an apartment. I thought, well, wait a minute, maybe this is a gift. This is a gift, right? Okay, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Let's go ahead and go through the program because they might be able to get me a better apartment than what I would have found if I had just found it myself. And then this will help you get a job. Okay. I have some friends here who are from there, and what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna tell you my story, okay? But I'm also gonna tell you their stories, and we're gonna have more people because I've invited more people from the shelter to come be with me today and maybe tell me their stories. But I'm gonna interview them also periodically with things that I experienced and see if their stories are similar. Hey, Steve, I need you guys to come over here. Actually, all of you. I've got four people here. They've done their own experiences with CAS, Central Arizona Shelter System. And we're going to go ahead and just take a look at a couple of their situations. Now, one of the first things that I noticed was that I was very disrespected by the people. Now, if I asked a legitimate question of a staff member, I had a case manager, or sometimes I just wanted to go to the secretary and say, can you answer a simple question? I was disrespected, I was confronted, and I was undermined. Okay. Has the staff ever treated you with aggression and disrespect?
Yes, on a regular basis, I would say.
Okay, give me an example of a time that you were treated in an aggressive and disrespectful way.
An example just the other day, was actually handling a situation with another client. I am SMI. I have my own social needs as far as my mental health is concerned. I go with CBI as far as my care. I actually have a care team. And I hold a lot of pride in being able to get a lot of things done with their assistance. But a lot of the difficulty is understanding that just because we might be making our moves to maybe better our situations or even not have to handle homelessness as severely as it happens again. But we're all living together in these different walks of life.
There you go.
So to have staff members that understand that particular value
Yes.
and fact is alarmingly rare. We have plenty of staff members that will appear. They're super helpful. It's not the, confetti version of, oh, I'm here to assist you. It really is. No, I may not have even gone through that. Like, there are plenty of staff members who haven't been homeless, but they understand the struggle of needing resources at all. And so they'll be there about a week, maybe, and then suddenly they disappear on us. Or even worse, the more heartbreaking moments are when we will hear from them directly over how we're being treated by other staff members and how they have difficulties intervening, and so they have to leave. They will either lose their licenses for assisting us as thoroughly as they can, and they get punished for it. So there's a constant cycle of gaslighting when it comes to clientele and affirmative action that we can take on our own means. So we'll report something to staff members, hoping that they'll, work on our behalf as we would expect, because they're getting a check. A lot of members are getting a check. So we're assuming if you're getting a check, yeah, you might be more motivated. No, commonly that's the case where people come in and just get the check. So they're sitting around or standing around on their phones or talking to each other. We had an incident just last year. A young man was stabbed to death right out. He didn't even make it off the campus. Now, this is already a tragedy as it is, but the simple fact that the aggressor and the victim had time to make it running all the way across the stretch of a campus at HSC, and there were no security guards to be found.
Okay, wait a minute. Now stop right there. Hold on a sec. Now, she has brought up several different issues that I've had. Okay, there's the ignorant, right? Sometimes the staff says, well, I don't know what to do about this. Then there's impotent, like the good people she was talking about, of I really want to do something to help you, but the people working here literally will not let me do a good job. So they leave. They're gone. Then there's Impotent, which is, you know what the, or the, there's ignorant and indifferent and impotent, which is, I don't have the power, the authority to do it. And then there's the incompetent of, I just don't know how to do it. Let me ask you something. Okay, I have this gentleman here with this beautiful little girl. What's your name?
Thomas.
Thomas. Now, do you believe Thomas, because you've got a lot of stories to tell too, what she just described was people really don't care. Okay, that's indifferent. Do you believe that when you were living there, you've had some personal experiences, that the common theme among the staff at the shelter was that they don't know what to do, they don't care enough to do it, they don't have the power to do it? What?
Sure. So yeah, we were staying at Vista Colina for family
Okay.
shelters. And I could name, I won't, but I could name some staff that really, you know, they had homeless experiences and they were there for the right person. But when things were addressed, mainly the unsupervision of children, which led to issues,
Okay.
right? I would always supervise her, but as far as other kids, I would be out there in the playground, and next thing I know, I'm watching like 10 kids.
Okay.
And issues came from that.
Okay.
But when things were brought up, a lot of times it was like kind of brought back on us. Like, well, you know, we tell them the rules that we can't hold their hands. It's like, I get it. Sure, you can't, and there's rules. But what I feel like was missing, honestly, was empathy
There you go.
from way up top, because they just seemed, you know, the gossiping going on about different, you know, clients who were there and stuff. And I think they're losing. A lot of them forgot the fact that we were going through some really hard times there,
Yes,
you know. And
absolutely.
I think some of the staff, I will name Caroline, she's the best up there. She
For
has a
our good.
huge heart, yes, but
Yes.
they're stymied by a system that doesn't allow that. They're not trained how to deal with these situations.
Okay.
There's a lot of things.
Thank you. Now, when you're saying they're not trained, there is the system which literally, if they were trained, would not allow that success to manifest because the system is set up in a way that really does undermine the success of the people. Now, I'll give you examples of things that have happened to me. I have a couple gentlemen standing behind the camera here. Now, I was assigned what was called a case manager. Okay. Now, a case manager apparently works for CAS, but then I was given a navigator. A navigator works for Human Services Campus. Do you know that the Human Services Campus and CAS are on physically the same property? It was not until I actually went from my case manager to my navigator. Apparently, my case manager was there to get me a job. My navigator was there to get me housing. And I said to my husband, I said, look, you know what? I'm going through this. I'm actually going to stick this out. I am going to do everything exactly the way they tell me to do it. Because what they kept saying to me, what the security guards and what the administration and what the executive staff said to me was, the reason why these people are still here after 5 years is because they're not doing what we tell them to do. I said, well, what are they supposed to do? No, what am I supposed to do? They say, well, I don't know. That's not my job. You have to ask that person. I said, okay, so how do I see that person? Well, there's their number. Well, I called and they never answered. They said, you have to make an appointment. I said, okay, so let's make an appointment. So then I had to go to someone else to make the appointment, but they didn't have an appointment for 3 months. What? What? Are you serious? Okay. And then I realized, you know what? They kind of get off on pissing you off. They'll say and do things. They'll act like they don't know what to do because, well, I don't know. That's not my job. That's their job. Well, then let me talk to them. Well, you can't. Okay, you know what? All right. I need to complain. Okay, I need to formally, officially complain. You got to have a customer service feedback line, right? Me with the survey freak. And they said, oh, well, you can fill out a grievance. A grievance is actually a slip of paper, right? Where you write down your name and your case manager and all that stuff. Tell us what went wrong. I said, who's going to see this grievance? They said, oh, the higher ups. I said, really? Okay. So I filled out a grievance and I gave it to the staff member that I was literally grieving against, right? She ripped it up and laughed in my face. Okay. Okay. So my daughter calls me and she goes, Mom, you are a really strong woman. How are you doing? And I said, honey, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm pissed. Okay, I don't like being humiliated and I do not like being challenged and I don't like being lied to. Okay. Now, are they lying to me because they don't know what's really going on? Do the higher ups even know what's going on in this place? So I did some more research. We got to figure out. They're violating health and safety codes, right? They're breaking laws. The security guards are lying to me about the staff. The staff is lying to me about the policies and procedures. My caseworker, you know what? But I think I got a job. Okay. You know what? Half full, sweetheart. My glass is half full. So I'm not gonna get pissy. I'm Italian and I'm INTP, sweetie. Don't fight with me. When you fight with me, you're gonna lose. Okay. But look, I got my place. So, but you have to, but here's the thing, you have to have a certain kind of job in order to qualify for this kind of place. So I went to my navigator and I said, look, great, this is great. My case manager, she got me a place. Oh, well, then you're gonna have to go to this kind of job. But okay, but if I go to this kind of job, that's too far away from my place. It will take me 2 hours by bus because I'm epileptic. Well, you know what? One of the guards didn't really like me. I was stressed out. So one night, as I was having a really hard time getting to sleep on the ground with the sheet and the pillow, he started a fight with me. And I said, you know what? I forgot to take my seizure medication. I'm getting really stressed out. I think I'm going to have a seizure. He goes, oh, good. I hope so, you little bitch. He put me out. Literally outside of the door in the pouring rain with the wind without my sheet and without my mat. So I'm sitting there, I'm shaking. Okay. I'm gonna have a seizure now. Okay, I'm having a seizure here. And then my daughter calls. Of course my daughter's gonna call me. And I'm like, hi, honey. And she goes, oh my God, Mom, what's going on? I can hear it in your voice. What's wrong with you? And I said, you know what, sweet? I love you so much. Thank you for calling. Thank you for calling me. I love you. And I said, I had a seizure, but it's okay because you love me and I love you and I'm going to be strong because I've seen what happened to me is nothing compared to what happened to that man and that woman. They're being treated even more worser, okay, than me. So I'm going to stick it out. I filled out another grievance, and the people that living there actually were laughing, and they're like, you don't actually think there is any point in fighting.
They commonly don't. I mean, no harm in interrupting, but that really is entirely the case. Where
What?
you have the issue is not the means to complain or the means to file a grievance. It's the fact that no one will then care about the grievance. There's no follow-up, there's no contact about said grievance, no one comes checking about you.
Okay.
The most you'll get is we'll talk about it in a meeting. And
Okay.
they'll try and set something up, but nothing really gets discussed.
Okay, excuse me. Never back on me. I said, you know what? You don't know what you're talking about. So I'm going to do this anyway because now I'm turning J. I'm turning INTJ. You don't want an INTJ. We're even worse than INTPs. Okay. So I'm writing down the grievance and I'm like, you know what? I don't even care. I don't even care that you're ripping it up. I'm going to take a picture of it and I'm going to take a picture of you. And I'm going to write a grievance for every single thing. And I've never asked before. I said, what's happened to you? Oh, you know what? I'm going to write a grievance on your behalf. And I'm going to take a picture of it and I'm going to submit it. Martha Myers. Okay, apparently Martha Myers is the next high up. I didn't know that until I asked four different people. I actually made friends with one of the people who was a staff, who, yes, is now no longer here because after 3 weeks working there, she was like, hell no, I'm not staying here. You're insane if you think I'm staying here. These people are toxic. I said, they're just homeless. She goes, I wasn't talking about the people who live here. I'm talking about the people that work here. They won't let you in this building because they don't want you to see what the people who work here are like. Okay. But you know what? But I'm a stubborn. See, now I'm just gonna stay because I want to show everybody that lives here that this is wrong and I can change this. And you know what? It was funny. I'm just gonna tell this extra story. One day, I couldn't find my cellular phone. And I was like, oh man, I need my cell phone because you know I need to talk to my daughter, right? And even my husband, I wasn't telling him everything that was going on, but I needed to talk to them. And I said, okay, I need my cell phone. I went to the lost and found, and it was the mail guy. And he said, you know what? We don't have it. And he said, I'm sorry, but you're probably not going to get your cell phone back. I said, you know what? I'm going to go to the lost and found. I think the people here, like another lady and this wonderful man who's shown up here to maybe tell their story. I said, I trust the people that live here more than I trust the people that work here. And you know what? They're my friends. because they're good people and they've been good to me and I'm defending them. And a lot of them said, but we know once you get out, you're never going to come back. I said, yes, I will, because I love you. I actually care about you. I can't believe you don't trust me. And they said, well, we've learned not to trust anybody. And I said, every day I'm going to go check. Someone is going to turn in my cell phone. Week one, week two. Okay, so now I'm needing to go to the library to do all my cell phone stuff on the computer, and I'm going to do it. Week three, and I thought, oh, shit. I'm going to have to get a new cell phone. But you know what? Even worse than getting a cell phone was accepting the fact, right, probably someone stole it. As I was walking by the mail room, the mail room man was so excited. He goes, Gabrielle, guess what? Look, someone did in your cell phone. I said, you see, and that's why the people that live here are worth my time and they're worth my energy. And I spent money on them. And I said, I'm gonna file another grievance for with that security guard. But you know what I found out? The security guards working for a different company have no grievance that I can file against them. And they laughed at me. And I went, okay, no, we're gonna do something about this. So I filed a report at the Better Business Bureau. A case number. I said, okay, look, I'm looking at laws that they have broken. They have broken laws. There are health and safety, security policies and procedures. Well, but you know what? I found out it was a charity, so they're not really accountable for what they are doing. I said, what? You're the Better Business Bureau. You guys are supposed to be the advocates for people like us. And they said, well, if it was a sole proprietorship or a limited liability corporation or corporate, then yes, the laws say they have to adhere to certain standards of policy and procedure and performance, like quality and sanitation, basic stuff. These people don't have to adhere. And I said, okay, that's it. I'm calling my daughter. I said, honey, sweetie, you know what? Mama's going nuts here. And she goes, why don't you move out? I said, because now I have 25 people here who are saying I'm going to abandon them, and there's no way I'm going to abandon them. I'm putting my own time and my own money. I'm getting a job. Well, you know what? I got a job. Okay, so maybe silver lining, the huge cloud as a silver lining. I got a job. Well, my case manager won't get me the appointment with my navigator because one's HSC and one's CAS, and so I'm like, okay, so I'm going to do all the paperwork. I did everything because I kind of sort of have this job at a temp agency. So, but I can only work certain hours and certain days in order to get back because they're still going to be kind of babysitting me. I have a curfew in my new home. Okay. So how am I going to get? Well, you just lost your apartment. Really? Okay. Okay. So I called my husband. I said, baby, yeah, no, I don't like being homeless. I can't be homeless. I really thought I was an amazing woman that I could handle this, but I can't be homeless. And he said, okay, you know what? Come back up to Washington. I was like, yeah, I think I'm gonna come. Well, I end up finding out that I was kicked out. I was kicked out because I turned in the grievances. And so I went to Martha Myers and I said, did you get any of my grievances? She goes, no, I've never seen any grievance. I said, I have taken pictures of them. I have turned them in against the staff, against the security, against all these people. What the hell is going on? She goes, go ahead and go over to HSC. I said, I'm on HSC. She goes, no, it's a different company. I said, oh, you mean my navigator who's getting me the job that I lost because I'm trying to get the apartment that you're not communicating with her about how to get for me. Hi, you want to come over here, please? I'd like to hear you tell a little bit about your story because I think I'm going to spontaneously burst into flames and die if I don't mind.
Hi,
Hi, what's your name?
Danielle.
Danielle, hi. So you want to tell us a little bit about your story? And don't you go anywhere, man. Okay.
About my story. I became homeless because they were treating me by lease at a subsidized housing that I was living at. So that's what made me homeless. I don't do drugs or anything like that, and yet people still look at me like I'm a piece of shit on earth, which I'm a human being just like everybody else is. And unfortunately, there's too many people around that are looking at us homeless, and I say us because yes, we are homeless now. I don't wish this on anybody, but circumstances come to be. People that say that they care about the homeless need to really genuinely care about the homeless. Don't just say it. Be about it, because they could say one thing, but the actions speak louder than words ever will.
That's what led me to be home.
So what's your experience been at CATS?
I just barely went to CATS. The people there are, I don't know if it's the staff or the people there, but they're rude. Very rude.
Okay.
I've had really,
I don't know if it's because of the way we come off at people. Or...
And I try to be polite and respect everybody.
Yes.
So there's a lot of, I haven't had very many interactions with the staff. But I've had more interactions with the people that are there, and I can understand if they're being treated in a certain kind
like
of way.
You're
the reason why.
Space, so.
Like you're invading their space. Okay, so let me ask you something. If I'm telling you that the attitude of the people that work there, okay, when they treat the people that live there with disrespect, when they laugh at them, when they
that's unacceptable.
Ignore them, okay. And then the people that live there are upset because they have been treated that way. Is it possible for anything in that establishment to be improved to get the
Absolutely.
Energy? Well, like what?
Absolutely.
Like what?
To improve their employees' behavior towards the people that stay there.
Okay.
That would improve it a lot.
Okay, but let me ask you something. And can you come over here too? I want to ask
sure.
both of you at the same time. Okay, now, what I was told, okay, when the things went on and I didn't have the grievances ever seen, okay, I said, okay, but what I said was, well, then look at the goddamn cameras. Turn on the, you know what someone actually said to me? Oh, the cameras aren't turned on. We don't have the funding to turn the cameras on.
I have cameras.
Okay, honey, I'm not done. So then I said, well, then we need to talk to someone who's actually going to get the cameras turned on. So I'm like, okay, let's go to the higher up. Martha Myers, I said, who do I go to after this? She never returned my call. So then someone else said, oh, yeah, we have them. They're on. I still wouldn't let me see them. And they said, you can't. You're not allowed to. I said, you know what? This particular staff member, I said, you're really pissing me off. And you don't have a name tag. What is your name? I said, we don't have to tell you because you're a nobody. And I said, really? Okay, I'm going to report that. Okay, I'm going to complain about that. Okay. So since nobody really matters here, the staff doesn't really care about the people that live here, what are we going to do? Well, you know what? I said to the people, I took some time off because I was kicked out. I got an attorney and I was put into another program, exact same things. It was called the Human Services Campus. They put me in a hotel, exact same problems, exact same attitude, exact same treatment from different staff. It was the exact same modus operandi. They literally threw my things out onto the street in the rain when I was kicked out because I filed 20 grievances against them and none of them were seen. Okay, so what I said to the people that live there was, we need to get together. My attorney has said to me the only way anything will change is if we file a class action lawsuit. I said, well, great. Because I actually helped the people that were living there. I went there and I spoke to them and I said, look, I'm fighting for you and I will defend you. And their answer, I said, it's time to take a stand and to work together, right? And join each other. And they said, well, then we'll get kicked out like you did.
I want to highlight that was my first response when I met her 2 years ago. Not last year, but the year before in 2021 was the first time I met Gabrielle, and that was our first table-wide response was, you know, the fact that fear is the first thing. If we speak up, the first thing we're going to get is retaliation, whether it's petty comments, but that's nothing compared to whether or not you're going to be able to get resources, whether or not you're going to be supported when you actually have an issue with the client and you need support. You've had plenty of security actually ignore us on real physical harm because they didn't feel like it was appropriate. They just made the choice for us.
Okay,
that's
Bruce,
a comment.
I'm sorry, Bruce, can you do me a favor? There's a man in a hat, okay, with a clumsy tag. Go ahead and take a look at him. I want you to make sure. He was the man that, as I was here walking around, not only was he vulgar and rude to me, but he also said that he doesn't give a shit about the homeless, okay? So I don't know who he is. I'm not going to ask him. He directly said to me, he doesn't give a shit about the homeless.
And they
okay.
tell us all the time.
What are they
We're the homeless folks, and they tell us to our faces all the time. They don't care about us. They assume that. They don't care.
Okay, so wait a minute now. Okay, again, now here's the beautiful thing about INTP. INTP, when someone says, no, you can't, Okay. Say it again, sweetheart. Because we're gonna, not only are we're gonna do it in an amazingly delicious way, and we're gonna make you feel really stupid in the process, okay? Because I will win. My papa, when I was, I think, around 7, when one day we were fighting, we were bantering back and forth, and he just busted out laughing. He goes, "Baby, you're a closer." I said, "I am not." What's a closer? And he goes, "It means you're either gonna be an attorney or you're gonna be a salesman when you grow up." Well, you know what? That's actually a compliment. I'm going to take that as a compliment. That's right, I am. But I went back and I said to the people, yes, we can get together. We can do this together. I love you. I trust that you love me. You're just scared to death to tell me that. It's okay. We're going to get together and we're going to do this. And so I said, you know what? How about this? How about let's actually get to the solution? Because I believe I've always told my viewers and my listeners, there's a source. There's the cause and the effect. You know what politicians want to do? They want to put a Band-Aid on the effect. Christine Miranda, she said, well, what do you want to do about it? By the way, she's an Arizona senator that I spoke to. She gave me her personal cell number because she's just tried so hard to fight the homeless. That's been her platform, you know, but no one will listen to her. And no one. Okay, so I'm thinking, sweetheart Miranda, okay, so are you impotent? Are you incompetent? Are you just stupid? You don't know anything? Or do you just really, truly not care? I said, look, what we need to do is we don't need to make money happen for this. We need to get the people who work there to be not toxic to the people who live there. And we need to get the people who live there the source, encouragement, resources, okay, that will get them out of there. I said, I'm going to give them life coaching. I have become accredited with a Better Business Bureau. I am making with my own money workbooks for them. Anybody who wants to come to my life coaching, they can have it for free. Do me a favor, Miranda, honey, go ahead and get a workbook for one of the people who wants to sign up for my class. Or how about this? How about you go down and take a look for yourself at the excrement with the blood and the urine and the black mold in the shower? She goes, oh, no, I took the tour, but no one in the Senate will let me do anything. I said, honey, get a checkbook and get a few workbooks for the people who want to go to life coaching. She goes, oh, here's my cell number. Give me a call. And she said, but, you know, we should have the homeless people come down here in the forums that all of my constituents can see and all of my colleagues can see. I said, you want them to come down? Because I can bring them down. I got a few people there who will come down for me because they actually respect me. And now they trust me. They trust my intentions and my motivations. Let me ask you something. Let me ask you an opinion question. Do you think that the people who live in these places don't trust the intentions of the people working there or the motivations of the people working there? Because those are two different things.
I think it's just both. It's both. And at some point, one will be together. No, no, no.
That's not what they are.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm going to be honest with you guys. I think the people that work there hate their job and they hate their life. So, okay, so let's go to the source. If I get enough people with some life coaching that they can then say, okay, you know what? I'm confident and I feel strong and healthy and loved enough by, even if it's just by my classmates, that's the encouragement and the support that I need. Then when these security guards threaten me, one guy actually had a device put up against his head while he was asleep, and the security guard laughed at him and pretended like he was gonna kill him, and he got like massively stressed out from that. And then the guy was like, ah, and the guy started laughing at him. He goes, you know what, I think I was more traumatized by the man laughing at me after doing that than the act itself. And I said, okay, so I'm gonna do the life coaching and I'm gonna get them some representation to get involved in the class action lawsuit. So, ladies and gentlemen, anybody who wants to know, I don't know how many minutes I have. How long have I been on the air? What time is it?
2:35.
Okay, 35. Okay. What I'm doing is getting a class action lawsuit of the people for what is called disorderly conduct. Do you know that nothing that they do is illegal because they are a charity? Did you know that? Is that news to you?
Yes.
Yeah. So what?
Everybody's held accountable.
No.
That's what we've learned over life is everybody's held accountable.
They're not held accountable because they do not have the same standard. Pretty much a charity can do anything that they want. Okay, so the only thing, so of course, being the INTP that I am, I'm like looking through the laws, IRS. I used to read encyclopedias when I was a little girl. Yes, I did. I know that's disgusting, but I did because I love to know everything about everything about everything about everything now. ARS, okay, ARS 13-2904, A3, disorderly conduct. That means that if an employee or a security guard says something or does something that is going to provoke a violent or emotionally charged reaction from the person, they just committed a misdemeanor.
That one, or whether it's up the property after we chopped everything.
Okay, okay.
Walmart,
Okay, so it is officially now a misdemeanor if the people that work there say things to upset the people that live there to the point where they want to beat them up. Well, you know what? Guess what? That happens all the time. So, two parts, ladies and gentlemen, two parts of what I'm doing right now. I'm reaching out to my viewers and to the residents of this establishment and the residents of the city of Phoenix. They do not know what is going on, right? Because no one will tell anybody, because no one will go on the record because they're afraid. And again, they're the retaliation of being kicked out. It's not worth it. Please donate some money to get the life coaching for the people who live there to get the healthy confidence. Because then, when we take Cass to court, well, we can't really take them. It's got to be the city of Phoenix. No, it's the state of Arizona. No, wait a minute. Is it Maricopa County? Is it Maricopa County? For disorderly conduct. I said, at least we can get the people who do these things, whether it's the staff, administration, whether it's the security guards that are Delta, that are a different company. Well, then let's go after that company. Get them removed, okay? So then we can help the people who are there to be able to say, okay, now I have my head on straight. Now I have a very specific goal. My life coaching is about getting people to understand who they are, understand what they need, because the synergy, right? What we create when we come together, there is no neutral energy. Indifference is negative energy. We need to get positive energy together with each other. And you know what? When I go out, I will show you the signs. Stay right there. Don't.
Help out some people give us help, we give them back to
It. Okay. I literally walk around the city. I'm on the rail. I stand in front of the building and I pay. The man who's holding the camera today, he's an amazing man. He actually stands wherever I tell him for as long as I tell him holding these signs. We need to get contributions and sponsors from the community. Well, you know how many people? Know what they say? They say, well, who's getting the money? I said, the workbooks, and I'm getting them recording devices like the one that I used for them to get the evidence against it to go to get the class action lawsuit. Oh, so you're getting the money. No, I'm not getting the money. I'm giving them free classes and I'm spending my own time. I've invested $2,000 of my own money into this to help them. Okay, so yeah, no, I'm not getting the money. Oh, but people are giving the money to you. Well, I bet you're not giving it to them, and I bet you're not doing it. I bet you're putting it in your pocket. And you know what? The homeless are never going to get better. And it's not our problem. It's their problem. And you know what? The homeless people, they probably deserve to be homeless because they're lazy and they're stupid and they're all druggies.
They were not.
They were not. We were absolutely not druggies. That is for sure.
Okay, so what I'm asking now is just to thank you for being here. What I'd like to do is spend some time actually listening to you tell your story
Sure.
because he says that he wants to help me and support me in this campaign. So
Well,
can you
there's a
tell
lot
me?
I could say, but basically, coming out of the divorce last couple of years, things got hard, and I actually was raised by a street preacher helping the homeless people.
Yeah.
So, and my life's been all over the place. I've been living in penthouses, working for corporate healthcare, giving speeches to CEOs, training them, and I'm an EMT. So, but I've also been on the other side where I've just given up on life and defaulted back to my weak worst version of myself. And I think something that we're missing is realizing that, yeah, we'll have potty soon, don't worry. is that any person could be any type of person at any given point in life, if that makes sense. I mean, we're forgetting that, like, the people that will say, okay, well, they're just this, they're just addicts or whatever, they were probably given the advantage of and the blessing of being raised in a house where that wasn't an issue. That's a blessing. It is. However, some of us were not raised in that way to where it was a curse in some way, but it wasn't our fault. You know, meaning you can't choose the lifestyle you're born into. However, it's anyway, coming back full circle to our situation, we were actually asked to leave Vista Kalina after an incident. But here's the thing. When we were asked to leave, there was zero follow-up with us. They just heard what they heard, made their decision. And it wasn't just me, it was her too. And I pulled in there one day with my work truck, and the security guard said, hey, you're not welcome here anymore. And I had no idea. I had gotten an email that said, you have until Thursday. It was a Monday, but I guess the specific wording of the email was a little weird. It said that you can get your stuff until Thursday, but you can no longer live here. So anyway, yeah, it was weird. So thankfully she was, so anyway, I had to like sleep in my work truck for a few nights, like figure stuff out. Thankfully things have gotten a little bit better and God has been good and blessed us. But at the same time, I pointed out, relax, you want to sit down? Okay. Well, I pointed out some stuff to them that I noticed. And I know it could be seen as like, well, he's just retaliating because he doesn't live here anymore. You don't want to go back there. Okay. Like, my daughter made some friends there, and which was good. We were lucky to have a place. But at the end of the day, I pointed out some stuff there, like juvenile was allowed to do drugs inside the units, domestic violence going on, pretty serious things. And as soon as I pointed that out in an email, literally 2 days later, I got a call from DCS saying that Vista Kalina was opening a DCS case against us. False allegations. I'm working through it right as we speak. There's issue. There's an open case. And it ties into the incident with the unsupervised kids and all kinds of stuff. But basically, when I went to CAS to try to get some help for our further living, and the CAS system, I came up as kicked out for criminal activity. But see, they said that without having police ever contact me, no charges were made, no arrest. So I questioned that in the email. I was like, wait, are you guys allowed to make that allegation without an actual crime ever being charges, no arrest made, nothing like that? Like, is it? And so that was included in the email, and that was kind of what prompted 2 days later the DCS case being opened. And it's like, well, if this DCS case was legit, you know, you were really concerned, why didn't you file it the day of or the day after the incident, which was almost a month ago?
Whoa.
Right? So there's some cover-up going on.
Thank you.
And we're not stupid. Like, just because we're going through some hard things in life and we have certain backgrounds or some people have struggles, whatever, doesn't matter. We're human beings. Please treat us as humans. For the love of God.
Thank
like,
you
all of us. And if I can be a voice for people who don't have one, let me be it. Here I am.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let me just say, I have faith in people. I believe that everybody is born with the capacity to be amazing. And when we come together and we encourage each other and we support each other, we can make each other amazing. But what is it about? Is it about ignorance? Is it indifference? Is it impotence? Is it incompetence? Do we trust each other? Do we trust each other's moments? Do we trust each other's intentions? I'm asking my viewers also this week, think about when you're looking at someone on the street, maybe someone on the bus, maybe someone on the corner that looks a little. Do you trust that person's motives or their intentions? Well, take a look at yourself. Do other people trust you? If you know how to get positive energy with other people, it did pay off for me in the shelter. I found people who were very good people. And even to this day, like the lady who had to leave early, she said, you know what? I trust you. Not only did you come back after you were kicked out, but you fought for us. There's no one out there like you. I said, yes, there is. They're just afraid like you. I'm just a fighter. And And I do believe that people will listen to me. Yes, because I'm attractive. Some people will just listen to me for that reason. But they'll keep listening because what I say is legitimate and substantive. If you guys know what is going on out there, if you want to know what is going on out there, this is what's going on. They give residents misinformation. They undermine the cooperation between the residents and the case managers. The administration and the management do not communicate with each other. The, I guess, Lisa Glow, she's the CEO of CAS. Well, you know what? She can't really do anything as a CEO because all of the other people in politics, they've tied her hands. She has to get this person to this amount of money, and she'd have to do it this way, and it has to be passed through this bill, and this has to happen, and it has to go through all of this. I said, sweetie, get your checkbook out. Buy a workbook. Don't find. You know what? The guy on the street, he didn't trust me. Okay? Here's the book. Go to Staples and make it yourself and pay for it yourself and give it to the homeless. But you know what? Bottom line, he doesn't trust the homeless people. Okay? If you believe that good can happen with people who are homeless that want life coaching, some of them genuinely do want information. They want to know how to be healthy, but when they're in a toxic environment, they don't know how to be healthy. Give them that encouragement and that support that they need to say, you know what, I trust that if you're willing to go to life coaching class, you will be successful. Because you know what? No, life coaching is not anything like counseling. And you know what? I make this joke that my son is getting children. My son, I think when he was about 12, he would tell people, he'd say, yeah, my mom's a shrink. My mom's a shrink. It was shortly after I started my career. I said, baby, you cannot call me a shrink. Shrinks just sit and listen to people complain for an hour and then say, and how did that make you feel? And then when people ask them a question, they answer their question with a question, and then they label them with a mental illness, and then they'll pull out a script. A coach doesn't do that. A coach says, okay, what are you doing in life? What do you want to do with your life? Okay, let's figure out your personality. Let's figure out your goals. A coach gives you the equipment. They give you the tools. They give you the strategy, the game plan. They give you the encouragement to go out onto the field and score. And when you're out there, you're making moves. You're going, okay, I'm doing the projects that you give me. I'm making progress in my life. Come, help me. Help me continue because I've hit a barrier. They call you up the field and say, okay, let's reorganize. Let's strategize. And then they go, okay, you know what? This is good. Let's go out. Let's try again. A coach helps you succeed. The people who are at the shelters who want life coaching, they're going to apply the information that they learn. They're going to take the gift of support and encouragement that their peers are giving them. That's good, positive, social energy. It's a synergy they're creating with each other. They're going to continue to have a good time. They're going to get out of this shelter. Am I going to change the entire shelter system? No. Am I claiming to change the entire shelter system? No. But I do know that if there are enough people in the shelters who are being healthy as a result of something that I am doing, then the very tiny little bit of benefit that the huge action of positive contribution that I am donating is worth it. A little bit is better than nothing. And even the positive of I'm not going to let the negative break me down is better than negative. Sometimes indifference is worse than negative, but sometimes the positive is contagious, it's infectious. And you can say, you know what? I know you're having a really hard time right now to the person standing next to you. And say, I'm going to be here with you and I'm going to be here for you because I think you're a good person and you're worth it. Do that. Do that for me. Think about what you're doing to the people in your life, the people around you, the people you know, the people you don't know, the people you might not want to know. Have that positive energy inside of yourself and continue to fight for what's right. Decide what you want to fight for and then go and say to the people around you, say, you know what? I really need some positive encouragement. Give me that. If you have that, I'll give you what I have. You give me what you have. It's not about the money. When you're making a donation, help the people in the shelters who genuinely want life coaching. They want to make their life better. Maybe they're just in a bad temporary situation. help them get out of that situation. Chris, what time is it?
2:51.
Okay, good. I just got a few more minutes left. I've actually done really good. My producer's probably going to be proud of me. But what I'd also like to say then in the last few minutes is personalities. People say, what's your secret to coaching? I'm going to go ahead and give you a real quick profile sort of test. And you can give this to yourself. Anybody who's been willing to stay with me for this whole time, they can get a free personality profile. The first part of your personality is your social energy. You're either an introvert or an extrovert. Well, okay, well, people say I'm both. No, you're not. You do both. But five questions that I like to ask people to see if they're an introvert or an extrovert. So the man standing behind the camera today is going to know his personality profile. I'm pretty sure he's an INFP. We'll see. Number one, when you have a special occasion, do you just want special people there? Or is it the more the merrier? An introvert would say, no, I only want a very intimate group because for me, special people are a special thing. An extrovert would say, hell no, I want more the merrier. There could be 500 people there. I don't even need to know all of them. I'm going to be around them and I'm going to absorb their energy. Number two, do you consider anyone you like your friend? Or is your friend someone who is profoundly, personally valuable to you? And from birth to death, you're only going to have a handful of friends. You can like a million people, but only special ones are going to be called your friends. Then you're an introvert. You know what? If an extrovert met you and he likes you, yep, you're friends. Okay? The third question, when you're having a conversation and someone interrupts you, how important is it for you to not be interrupted? Okay. If it bothers you when people interrupt you, you're probably an introvert. Okay. If you're an extrovert, you're going to keep talking and you can keep talking and people could be interrupting you. You just keep talking and you know it's okay because you're just going to go ahead and interrupt them because when you talk, you're interrupting. Okay. You'll know which one you are based on that question right there. But another question is if you have to yell in order to be heard, you know what? It's okay because an extrovert would say, an introvert would say, let's just do the four questions because I'm trying to organize my time. The second one, I'm going to have to explain a little bit more. Sensory or intuitive. Now, sensors have five senses. They're always going on all the time. Intuitives are more about what's going on in their mind while their senses are collecting all the information. Their mind is putting it together. So if you're sensory, you like stimulation, any kind of stimulation, even bad stimulation. One of the things I say is food, okay? If you like to eat food, even if it tastes bad, you're probably sensory. An intuitive person would say, no, you know what? I can imagine what it would taste like. That's good enough. A sensor is great with directions, and they never get lost. An intuitive would get lost in their backyard. They may be someplace four different times, and if they take a different street, they're in a different place, okay? A sensor is someone who's very much about right here, right now. They're in the moment. They experience everything in the moment and they remember faces. An intuitive is about the future. What could happen? Let's speculate about what could happen. Because you know what? When I'm planning out, okay, no. A sensor is very literal. When you say, where are you? Say, I'm here. I'm on the state senate property. And an intuitive would say, well, you know, I'm in a really weird place in my life right now. I think I'm at a point in my life where I may need to look at some things going, okay, where are you? Okay. A sensor says, I'm right here. An intuitive says where they are mentally, emotionally. The third part of your personality is how you make decisions. You're either a thinker or a feeler. Now, some people think thinkers are smarter than feelers. No, they're not. They think feelers are more emotional than thinkers. No, they're not. In the context of your personality, when you make decisions, a thinker is logical and rational and objective and reasonable and analytical. A feeler is sensitive and generous and caring and responsive to people's needs. So how do you know what you are? One of the questions I ask people is, what if you have to break bad news to someone? A thinker would say, well, you know what? That's just life. Sometimes you got to hear bad news. You know what? You just bite the bullet and you deal with it. A feeler would say, okay, I'm going to say it in the nicest, most sensitive and caring and thoughtful way. Or if I can get out of saying the bad news, I'd want someone else to do it. Well, another question I ask people is, if you're a thinker, well, a feeler, how about if you have to make a decision for yourself and you say, you know what, it's going to end up making other people unhappy, the decision that I'm going to make, would you be okay with that? A thinker would say, yeah, I'm okay, because you know what, in life, we're going to be unhappy. I can be unhappy and I will be fine. And I know that other people would, well, you know what, a feeler would say, I don't want to be unhappy because I know that the other people around me seeing me unhappy are going to be unhappy and that would make them unhappy. I don't really want to do that. Okay. Well, when I ask people the next question, number three, do you consider people more important or information? Well, people say, well, of course, both. I say, no, 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 no. If you have to make a decision based on something that is logical and rational, and makes complete and total sense, but you know what? It's going to make someone else upset. Do you know that that's the right one because you have worked out all of the academic details? I think I would say, yeah, yeah, that's the way you really got to make it. Well, you know what? A feeler would say, I need to take the needs of other people. And needs don't make sense. You can't make that make sense because people are special. And the last question that I always love to say is, well, you know what? If you had to perform surgery on your best friend, okay, that you love more than anything, and there's no anesthesia, you've never performed this surgery, but someone said to you, you know what, you're going to save this person's life, would you be able to go, okay, let me see, so when I'm reading, and this is a bone, and so you got a cut here, and would you be able to detach? I think it would say, absolutely, because you know what, you read it, and yeah, okay, they're okay, you're almost done, honey, we're almost done, we're almost done. A feeler would say, oh my god, I can't even read the first sentence in the book because I'm going to try and nurture them through the pain before I can even focus on anything intellectual. Okay, and the last letter of your personality is how you carry out the decisions that you've made. When you have these decisions to make, you're either a perceiver or a judger. A perceiver is someone who's flexible and spontaneous and go with the flow. A judger is someone who's planned and organized and, you know what, consistently. Yeah. Let's ask some questions. Number one, do you ever write lists of things to do? Yeah, everybody writes lists. The question then is, do you lose the list throughout the day or do you actually mark off everything that you've done? And if you've done something that's not on your list, you write it on the list just so you can mark it off. Okay. A perceiver would lose the list. A judger would absolutely keep going. Which kind of brings to the second question. Well, are you more excited at the beginning or the end of your project? A perceiver has all the energy at the beginning and then they kind of run out of energy. A judger is like, yeah, okay, let's go. But they get more, it's okay. Would they get more and more and more and more excited to the end? And if they don't finish, they're going to die. Okay. Well, the next question is, when you have an appointment at 3:45, would you know you're going to be 5 minutes late? Are you going to be 55 minutes early? Then you're a J. If you're okay being 5 minutes late, because you know what, it really didn't start until I got there. Okay, and I forgot the last one because Chris, it's okay because I can go over time. Thank you very much. The plans. Oh, if the rules. If there are rules, and they are established by any kind of organizational establishment, how important is it for you to follow them? A J would say the rules are there and they are laws and they are not negotiable. A perceiver would say, well, you know what? It's a kind of fluid concept. They come and they go and it depends on who you're dealing with. Okay, so get your four letters. Really ask yourself honestly who you are. That is the first step to the coaching program I have as a life coach, as a relationship coach, and as a coach to the homeless. If you're interested in knowing more, my website is synergyrelationshipcoaching.com. And I've got a whole lot going on here. Stick with me. See my show next week. We're going to be talking about some really fun topics too. But if you have a question, go ahead and email me at synergyrelationshipcoaching@gmail.com. Then you can ask me any question. If you can't watch the show live, but you still want to ask me, I'm more than welcome to listening to any questions or concerns of my viewers and listeners. Thank you so much for watching the show today. It's The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. Have a great rest of your week.